Yeah, I think I'm recording it now.
That's fine.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah,
so Jason, you're saying?
It's probably not recording anyway, so it needs to be done. I've been agreeing to that. The long and short of it is, obviously I've spoken with the Fattals. They are keen to have a call to resolve these shareholder disputes. I believe these are separate disputes. I've made it very clear to George and your client, which effectively is George as far as I'm concerned, that a lot of these codes are intrinsically linked to the shareholder disputes, and therefore...
Well, you assert they are, but they obviously aren't.
Well, from what I can say, I do believe they are.
But they're not.
Linked. Well, I'm not too sure where you got that stance, but...
probably because I'm a lawyer and you're an IT bloke, I guess.
Yes, well, look, there are certain things that effectively would allow your client to further annex assets from the business.
Look, you're the IT man. You're on the board. In fact, as far as I can tell, you are now the sole director of this organisation. How did that happen?
Well, that's because your client... effectively, there was an agreement with all stakeholders over how this business was going to work originally. It was done, and effectively, that goalpost was moved because your client's son decided to change things, for what I believe, in Jet Group Services. Everybody in the business, other than your client and their associates, fundamentally agree that this happened from your client's son. I have him actually admit it to some degree.
But how on earth can you call yourself the sole director of this company when you're the IT man?
At what point did I proclaim that?
Well, you are at Company's House, aren't you the only director on Company's House?
For Jet Group?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm going to have to double check that. Yes.
Yes.
Well, how's that happened?
Because I registered the company. Was your client trying to tell you that something else has happened?
But how can you be the only director of that company?
Well, I don't understand what you're trying to get at here.
Well, are you the only director of the company?
Yes, your company's house is a fundamentally reflection of the company, isn't it? It's supposed to be.
But why are you the sole director of the company?
Because I registered it.
But I might contact any form agent and ask them to register a company. But why would they be the sole director of it?
Because I registered it. I don't know what you're trying to get at here. And this is a little bit off tangent anyway, but fundamentally, it was registered by myself, and therefore...
Why did you register the company?
Because it was agreed that I should register the company with the RAM stakeholders. There was an agreement between all of us, and that's why I'm trying to...
And it was agreed that you'd become the sole chief executive officer and director of the company, was it? So they appointed the IT man as the sole director?
Yes, effectively. There was an agreement between the Patels, the Busfields, and various other parties, including myself, as to how the company was going to run. Okay, that agreement was upheld by myself, and then disagreements started to happen last year when your client's son decided to fiddle around, from what I can imagine, with the shareholdings in Jet Group Services. I do have some form of admission from them over that, and since then everybody has been at loggerheads because of what George has done. There are many emails that question the directorship of your clients, whether that's Mrs. Busfield, whether that's
I've got a message in front of me from Mahel. Is it Mahel?
Yeah.
And it says, I'm never getting my shares, so why should I have it? Time to burn the place down. Dow can ask GCV and Jet where the money is. Enjoy the legal fight, fees especially, when they will be providing with George's own emails. Then HMRC can ask for their VAT and other taxes, and Harry can have all the customers. Fuck it. Your treatment of myself and Jason is disgusting. If Jason is not paid by 7 a.m. on Monday, without stipulation, and you don't engage to repatriate. Did you know about that message?
So, I haven't seen that message. I haven't seen the details of it. I understand that a angry email was sent by either Mahal or his father, and effectively, yes, Mr. Patel is fed up with the situation.
But I mean, but he's getting himself into a lot of hot water. You say Mr. Patel, you mean Mahal Patel, don't you?
Look, Mahal represents his father as a shareholder in Real Time Analysis and News Limited. Effectively.
What do you think he meant by then HMRC can ask for their VAT and other taxes, and Harry can have all of the customers? Fuck it. I mean, is he saying he's going to defraud the taxman out of any money?
What do you mean, he is?
Well, what's the plan? I mean, what is Mahal alluding to here if HMRC can fuck it? I mean, that's, you can't go around saying that kind of thing and get away with it very easily, you know?
No, he's not alluding to HMRC can fuck it. You're assuming, I think, something incorrectly, maybe because there is ambiguity in the wording. I think he's referring to he, as in your client's son, George, and his actions. What I understand is...
This is George. Harry. Harry can have all the customers. Didn't say George.
Well, I can't remember exactly what the email says, you know, in terms of, I know you read it out to me, but I can't remember word to word, so obviously I might get some semantics wrong, but effectively...
What does he mean by time to burn the place down?
So, what he means is that George has annexed shares in Jet Group Services Limited, which is different from Jet Group, okay? Mr. Patel is entitled to some shares. He asked for those back from George because of his father's pension. George has refused to give those back for well over 18 months now. And
but Mr. Patel's therefore free, if he's got a grievance, to issue court proceedings, not to burn the place down.
Well, the problem is, it's a business due to, you know, effectively, everyone in the business blames George for the demise of the business.
Well, hang on a second. You can blame who you like, and there's a whole set of courts in England and Wales where these grievances can be heard. But you can't force a company into insolvency by withholding its data because you don't like how you've been treated, and you can't burn it down because you feel crossed. Mr. Earl, I think you are burning it down because you are withholding information that would allow us to pay Google. And I regret to say that if you carry on doing that, then I am an expert litigator, and this will end up in litigation. And I'm urging you to release that information to the
system. Let me clarify this, because you're now going on to another point which deviates from what Mahal's original email is, or Chandra's email, I can't remember which the two wrote it. But effectively, what Mahal's effectively saying in that email is, let me finish my point and I'll go on to try and connect what you've just gone on to, is that George has annexed shares in Jet Group Services, okay?
But you accept that if what you're saying amounts to a civil wrong, then there's a whole load of courts in England and Wales that can deal with that grievance. You accept that?
Yes, I understand that there's an S994 resolution process.
Well, there's far more besides the 994. But just looking at this email, where he says fuck it. It seems quite clearly that he intends to drive the business into insolvency rather than have a judge determine whether his grievance was right or wrong. And that would lead, I have to tell you this, that would lead most judges to conclude that Mr. Patel believes he'd lose in a civil action against George and or his mother.
No, I think maybe this is the wrong end of the stick here, but I mean, obviously, people interpret things,
Well, judges don't like it, where instead of using their services to find out what the justice of a situation is, people behave in a clandestine and unlawful way so as to prevent them from making a decision. I can tell you that. And I'm looking at this email.
There's some ambiguity here as to how you're interpreting things. What Michael seems to be alluding to, as far as I understand, is that he is frustrated with George annexing these shares. The company has been devalued.
But there's remedies. I'm told that Mahel is a very... I don't want to offend anybody, we're on tape, aren't we? But Mahel is a wealthy man. Well, he knows that you can't go around burning the place down as opposed to seeking justice. You can't do that.
I can't speak for Mahel completely here, but let me try and clarify the understanding or misunderstanding that you have here, and the understanding I believe my hope to have is these shares have been annexed by George. The company has been devalued because George has controlled certain aspects of the business against the will of those who actually run the business. This has happened for 18 months. There are so many emails to show that everybody other than George, his mother obviously, and Adam Vose, and two fake directors, as far as we're concerned.
Why are they fake directors?
Well, okay, let me ask you, if you read my email, find out what Richard Williams has done as a director. If you can find something, then I take my work back. If you can find something substantial that Richard Williams, as a director, has done...
Well, you don't have to... You can... Directors of companies don't have to be employees and don't have to be contracted to do anything other than vote when they choose to turn up for a vote. You can't say he's a fake director because he does nothing. Either he's a director or he's not.
Well, there is no input from Mr. Williams.
That doesn't matter. That's in law, that's a nonsense point. I mean, I'm a director of many of my clients' companies, and they don't bother me. They don't bother me unless they want me.
Yeah, but you can't, as a director, you also have certain duties, and I do, from my understanding, is Mr. Williams hasn't fulfilled those duties.
What duties do you think he has?
I don't believe he has.
What duties do you think he has? What duties do you think Mr. Williams has?
Mr. Williams is just not acting, let's put it that way.
Yes, there is no duty of a director to act. He doesn't have to do anything, he's just a director. So you're mistaken.
A director does have to perform certain tasks, like trial accountants, things like that. There are, that's why the Companies Act, obviously.
Well, normally, it depends how a company is organised, but normally the company secretary files the accounts.
Yes, I mean, someone has to do it, but the directors have to take responsibility for it and ensure that that happens. The directors have a duty of care of some sort. They can't just put their name against the company and let things rot away
Of course they can do. I mean, you don't have to as a director. You can choose to employ people, or the company can employ people, to do virtually every task of a director. A director doesn't need to involve himself. And if you've got a grievance because you feel Mr. Williams hasn't been involved as you think he should have been, tough luck. And if you're withholding information about Google because of your grievance with Mr. Williams, you're going to be in terribly hot water.
No, that's a separate matter.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
I don't believe Mr. Williams is acting in the proper capacity here.
Well, you seem to have lots of grievances based upon a false apprehension of what the law is.
I mean, this is slightly constraining a point. I just said that Mr. Williams...
I'm not as bright I'm not bright enough or good enough to be a judge. But I've come across many judges, and I've sat in many, many, many large cases. And where a judge reads the phrase, time to burn the place down, he's only working with the scales of justice. He's only trying to balance who's most likely to be in the right and who's most likely to be in the wrong. And when you write on an email, time to burn the place down, you kind of put a lead weight against yourself, if that makes any sense. The scales tend to sort of plummet in a certain direction. And I'm looking at this thinking, and then you're on tape saying that Mr. Williams hasn't adhered to his duties, when you've got the faintest idea what those duties are. And in the meantime, you acknowledge that you're withholding information that prevents the company from going about, from going about its lawful business. Now, you are storing up for yourself a colossal personal obligation. If that's what you want to do, and also, you seem to be working with Mr. Mahel, because you know of his message, conspiring against the company. Never mind George for a second, think of the company.
The long and short of it, let me explain, because you're not letting me finish explaining what I believe Mahel's email is saying. As I said, George has annexed these shares. Mahel is angry that his father's shares have been annexed. The company has devalued under George's leadership, and there is plenty of evidence to show that George does control aspects of the business. That business has devalued, and the problem is now what was a very profitable business is now worth very little, and therefore, as far as Mr. Patel is concerned, there is little argument to throw money at what is effectively a dead duck. As for what he writes, that's his opinion, that's not my opinion. I just know that an angry email got written through third-party sources, okay? I didn't know of the content, as I said earlier. I'm just aware of it. Now, you've read it out to me. I know what's written. But this is where it stems from. Let me go back to the other point, which is the more poignant point of what tonight is about. Firstly, the emails are back, okay? I have intervened to ensure there's a temporary solution, so nothing is going to fail because of my actions, okay? The fact that it hasn't been paid is an issue of your clients, from what I understand. But that's separate. That's a separate thing that we can resolve in due course, as far as I can tell. So, the emails are running, so I've acted in good faith, as far as I'm concerned. I believe there's a little bit of misinformation that has been provided to you as to, my obligations there anyway. But as I say, there's a temporary solution that keeps us going for the very short term, whilst we try and then solve the wider disputes. Going forward though, your clients promised to pay me over the weekend, and that hasn't happened.
So Jason, I'm happy to talk about your claims for payment on Tuesday in detail, but I do believe, as a matter of law, you've been making unlawful demands. Not necessarily the amount you're claiming, I don't know about that, I'll find out about that, but you cannot say, pay me or I will destroy the business, which is what Mr. Mahel's email seems to be saying and that you know about. If Jason is not paid by 7 a.m. Monday without stipulations and you don't engage to repatriate, effectively he's saying, let's burn the place down.
I didn't realise the content of that email, I keep saying that. All I know is...
it seems to me that your demands, almost certainly your demands are unlawful, to the point of being highly unlawful. Now, we can work out by way of remeasure or whatever it might be what you think you're owed, but you can't go around over relatively modest amounts of money destroying a company which you yourself on tape have acknowledged was making a great deal of money only quite recently, and whilst you, Mr. Mahel, believe, hang on, whilst you, Mr. Mahel, believe he can't be turned round, I suspect my clients will say otherwise. And if they lose the chance to turn it round, you might want to look at what a loss of chance claim is. If they lose the chance to turn it round, they would still have a very, very large claim, both against you and Mr. Mahel. So, sorry, Mahel. So
let me interject here quickly. How are they going to claim against Mahel when Mahel actually hasn't done anything? When he says time to burn the place down, Mahel isn't in a capacity as a shareholder who hasn't got his shares. He doesn't have any capacity to instrument that.
But he's been obviously from this discussion, we can tell he's been working with you over withholding information from the company, allowing it to pay its Google account.
He hasn't been withholding information. All that I know is that somebody told me that an angry email was sent by Mahel because he's fed up with the situation of employees or staff or contractors not being treated properly by your clients.
Who told you?
I can't remember now.
Oh, come on, expect everyone to respect everybody by not misleading us. Who told you about this email?
Or this I don't message? Know. I had a conversation last week, okay?
With who?
I can't remember. There's various people who talk about things. All I'm aware is...
Okay, who might it have been with? List those whom it might have been with.
I don't need to disclose this. I just know that an email was sent, okay? I'm not here to just try and remember every fine detail for the last 2 years.
Well, it isn't the last 2 years. It was the 29th of October, and it's a fairly important email. Who told you about it?
I don't know, okay?
It was Mahel, wasn't it?
No, I don't know, to be honest.
What does your telephone messages tell us? Have you spoken to Mahel in the last 5 days?
Look.
What would the telephone records tell us about your discussions with Mahel?
I don't need to disclose this to you, okay?
But surely you can be honest with me, can't you?
I don't see what this is relevant to. This has nothing to do with...
Well, the relevance is this. It seems to me highly plausible that you and Mahel have been conspiring to damage the business. And I'm asking you whether you've been withholding crucial business information at the behest of Mahel. And it seems to me that you know of his email, and he seems to know that the place can be burnt down unless you're paid. So the two of you are speaking from the same hymn sheet, but you can't remember who told you of his email.
I'll tell you where this stance comes from, okay? Mahel is worried because shares got annexed from Jet Group Services last year, okay? There is a shareholder dispute that's been running since definitely at least June last year.
But he's a wealthy man, Mahel, isn't he? He's a wealthy man.
Depends what you qualify as wealthy, but yes, I would believe he has certainly more money than me, let's put it that way.
So he could have taken this case to a civil dispute, couldn't he?
But you've then got to ask, is it worth it when the business has been so badly destroyed by actions of, well, I believe that, you know, that some of these actions are George's now. Everyone's going to have a different viewpoint on that. But there's clearly, what you can definitely say is there is a shareholder dispute.
Why did you withhold this information?
Can I finish what I'm saying? Because of the shareholder dispute and because of shares, property that has been already annexed, that is, there's plenty of documentation to highlight this, okay? Mahel and his father are worried about further assets of the business being annexed by your client and her son, and therefore, there is... there is a stance that information should not be disclosed to your client to allow further annexing of stuff, because the other side of it is, if your client was to annex further property, be it domain names, whatever, and I hand that information over, therefore, could hold me criminally and civilly liable. And that's my concern, and that's the concern I highlighted both to your client, Mr. Rose, and ultimately George knows about it, because George is the one pulling the strings.
So you fear...
George was talking to you earlier, instructing you.
So you fear that whereas Mr. Mahel, or sorry, Mahel doesn't choose to take his grievance with George on a civil basis, you fear that if you didn't do what you're obliged to do to the company, Mr. Mahel would take action against you. You're scared of him, is that right?
Well, I believe there is, I'm not scared necessarily of him in the first instance, in the sense that I am worried that there is a liability that can be held. So
has he told you that? Has he told you he'll sue you if you give the company information?
He doesn't explicitly tell me, but I have come to realise that I'm in a position where if I do act, I'm downed, and if I don't act, I'm downed. Because effectively, this shareholder dispute has put me in a very precarious situation, not because of my actions, but because of the actions of third parties, and I believe those third parties mostly constitute representatives of your clients.
But it seems to me, from this message that Mahel sent...
You're trying to hold me accountable to a message that I didn't write, Mr. Deadstone, okay? And I don't know the contents of it, and I stated that pretty much before...
You say that with confidence, but you can't seem to remember who told you about it.
All I was told is that a message was sent by Mahel saying he was angry. That's all I was told.
But how do you know that when you can't remember who told you?
So I don't remember everything that's said. And lots of people talk about things, okay? Things happen by word of mouth, okay?
Why can't you name names?
This is not the point. This is not the point. You're trying to hold me accountable for an email I never wrote, okay?
But you knew about it.
I was aware of an email being sent by Mahel. I believe, look, Mahel and his father sent lots of emails, okay? I cannot recall very specific names.
And as you knew, the point I'm making, as you knew about the email, and as Mahel sent the email saying that he planned to burn the place down, were you and Mahel planning together to burn the place down?
No, because like I say, I didn't know of the contents of that email.
So somebody said Mahel sent an email.
Yes, basically someone said to me, Mahel sent an angry email because he's pissed off because he hasn't got his shares. That's all.
Well, I'm going to infer, and your telephone records will tell the world eventually, and the Hells will tell the world eventually, and the text messages can't be deleted, and hard drives can't be deleted, that it seems to me that you and Mahel have been working quite closely together.
Look, you can believe whatever you want to believe.
Well, if the company goes down, and you've acknowledged in this call it was a valuable company, because you two have been working together, then there'll be consequences.
Look, you're trying to connect dots that are not there. All I said earlier is I have a concern that if I hand over that information, then I could be held liable.
Why could you be held liable? Who told you that?
Because no one told me that. I have come to that deduction that if that information got into your client's hands and your client further annexed company property that...
Do you accept that my client is a director of the company?
I feel this phone call is getting nowhere because I'm struggling to A, guide you as to what that email actually means. You've misinterpreted it and you're trying to infer something that is effectively... I don't know how to use the words, but effectively you are trying to allude that I know certain things that I didn't know.
Well, I'll make it clear to you what I'm alleging, or what I'm... No, I'm not alleging. I'm asking you...
Knowing the email and knowing the contents are two very different things.
What I'm asking you to confirm or not confirm is this. Have you and Mihail been working together and conspiring such that you withheld company property and information from the company itself?
This was meant to be a call about resolving the Google stuff. You're not trying to bring us into another kind of realm.
No, okay? Well, in part, we didn't set the parameters for the call, and I'll go along with that. But Jason, you've got the message from me that if people act in a way so as to deliberately burn the place down, there will be consequences.
I am not burning the place down, okay?
And you must avoid working with those who are on the record of saying that's their intention. Do you understand that? Because if a judge sees you working with such people, he will assume you're doing it knowingly. Well, I don't want to put my thoughts in a judge's mind, but I would invite a judge to reach that same conclusion.
Fair enough. Well,
so you go very steadily, Jason, and we'll speak noon on Tuesday. Hopefully Mihail will be on the phone, perhaps even with his lawyers if he wants them, and we can get some methodology where everyone can sit in a room together, perhaps with a mediator, and resolve this entire dispute.
I've been trying to push that, and unfortunately, your client has failed there.
Well, that's your opinion. That's why you've sided with Mihail. But I think you may have made a mistake.
Look, everybody in the company has wanted your clients, not just me, Mihail. You know, there's loads of other people who are fed up with the actions of your clients.
Well, they're fed up with the major shareholder, and that's a tough place to be. If you don't like the owner, go somewhere else. I own my legal practice. I'm fortunate. I own 90% of it. And generally speaking, if you don't get on with me, you don't last very long. That's life. And I'm sure many people leave my firm feeling a sense of unhappiness. But either you're on the team or you're not. And it's not your team, it's other people's team, isn't it? It's actually Mrs. Busfield's team.
There is a certain argument as to some of this, but in terms of there is a dispute, a wider dispute in the company, like I say, a shareholder dispute.
Mihail is well financed enough and could have brought that in a normal way, rather than coercing the IT officer to withhold data. He could have brought that claim in a normal way. It seems to
me. You're trying to allude that and say that's happened when.
Well, it does seem to be said.
I have come to that conclusion that I could be held liable from.
Yeah, that's an excuse, isn't it? That's an excuse. And what Mihail has done, he says this clearly as the last line on his threats. If Jason's not paid by 7 in Monday, without stipulation, etc., etc., etc. So he's making a demand that you're paid. Otherwise, he says, you'll burn the place down. It seems that he knows that if you're not paid, you won't be handing over the data the company needs. It does seem as though you're working together, and you can't remember who told you about his email. And I'd ask a judge to infer that you can remember, and the person who told you was Mihail, because you've been plotting together. That's how I put the case.
You can think what you want.
Well, I would only invite a judge to say the same, but I rather suspect he might do it with a decent barrister in front of him. Anyway, there we are. It was good of you to call back. I'll do an email now to everybody suggesting we speak at 12 on a conference call.
I think the most important thing is that everybody comes together to discuss this. What I am very uncomfortable about is I'm in the middle of a situation where I am effectively being forced by either side.
If you've taken sides, haven't you taken the whole side?
Look, I am going to be damned if I do and damned if I don't. Unfortunately, that's not because of my own actions, that's because of the actions of others. And unfortunately, because of the agreement that my name is above the door on the company's house, it seems as I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Okay. Well, explain it like you haven't got legal advice, and those things were on my mind. We'll let you go, and we'll reconvene the discussion noon on Tuesday.
Fair enough.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.